Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And as we just mentioned, President Obama spoke today about working with Russia in the fight against ISIS in Syria. But in many ways, it's a battlefield without borders, because those militants hold territory across the region, including in Iraq. Today, we want to focus on a town in Iraq that ISIS controls, Ramadi, the capital of Anbar province, west of Baghdad. There's an offensive going on led by Iraqi troops and Iranian-trained militias to retake Ramadi now. Mitch Prothrow is Iraq bureau chief for McClatchy. He joins us from Erbil, Iraq. And Mitch, who is winning the fight for Ramadi right now?
Well, it depends on what you mean by winning. The Islamic State is still firmly in control of the city itself, and it's quite a large city, about 1 million people. And unlike a lot of places that were taken over by the Islamic State in the past, they didn't let everyone flee. So you've got a sizable civilian population still sitting inside Ramadi, sort of terrified, caught between the, Shia-dominated central government, which doesn't seem to care a lot about Sunni civilian casualties, and the Islamic State itself. And so it's a dicey situation as Iraqi troops start going into the city itself, and we're told that's going to happen in the coming days. I think we'll have a much better view of how this is going to unfold.
And if the Iraqi military, with the help of U.S. advisors or at least U.S. equipment and money, were able to retake Ramadi, would it then cut off the Islamic State from their supplies and from their ability to connect with Raqqa and Syria? What would it do in terms of cutting off this part of the country from Islamic State control?
Well, keep in mind that the center of Ramadi had held out until May for almost a year. The bigger question in some ways is, what will they be able to do, meaning the Iraqi government, once they take control of it? Are they simply going to flatten it Grozny style like they did with Tikrit, where nobody will basically ever be able to live there? Control that way? Or are they going to be able to work out something with the Sunni tribes that greatly distrust them to sort of bring law and order and a semblance of government, presence to the area that then, they can build from in bringing a lot of Iraq back under the control, at least nominally, of a central government? And that's the million-dollar question. So what you do with these places after you take control of them is just as important, if not more so, than actually taking them back.
Well, Defense Secretary Ash Carter this morning told the House Armed Services Committee that the U.S. is sending more special operations forces to Iraq to fight ISIS. We know that President Obama has already decided to send 50 special ops forces into Syria as well, and that there is some discussion of possibly sending more into Syria if those initial forces have success against ISIS. Is that what the governments in Iraq and Syria want?
Virtually everybody on the ground would like to see more what we call special operations troops helping out. And we've actually seen a tremendous uptick in that sort of activity in the past few months. I've reported it. The Guardian reported it yesterday. We're already seeing reports. If you talk to the Peshmerga, they'll say, look, Delta Force guys are out there advising us. And sometimes they're advising us by sniping mortar positions from 1,000 meters out or, actually engaging in combat. When the administration says they don't have boots on the ground conducting actual combat operations, that's a little bit of a white lie. You don't have Delta Force, or in the case of the UK, the British SAS, and use them and tell everybody that you're using them. These are the most elite and secretive units, in our militaries, and they are on the ground conducting operations. So we've seen these guys up in Sinjar and Mosul Dam. I have firsthand reports of them operating in Fallujah, in what any sane person would consider combat situations.
Well, finally, in the few moments we have left, what about the Russia and Turkey tensions over Turkey shooting down that Russian plane recently? In Paris today, President Obama said he stands beside Turkey as a NATO ally and that Turkey has a right to defend itself from incursions in its airspace, but he wants Turkey to focus on the fight against ISIS. Is that what Turkey is focused on?
Not at all. And that's been the biggest single problem is, You've basically had Turkey, who's been a very unreliable ally in dealing with the Islamic State. They're far more interested in seeing Assad overthrown on one hand, and on the other, far more interested in making sure the Kurds don't start up a statelet either inside or on the border of Turkey. And then as a distant third, maybe they're concerned about the Islamic State. But again, when Russia got involved, they said they were coming to fight terrorism. The vast majority of their air power has been used to support operations by Assad forces against, you know, rebels that are not part of the Islamic State and, in fact, are for the most part backed by the U.S. and Turkey. So this is, you know, sort of a Sarajevo 1914 situation that has everybody extremely nervous because everybody's backing another side while pretending that they're not conducting a proxy war against one another.
Mm-hmm. Mitch Prothro is Iraq bureau chief for McClatchy. Mitch, thanks so much for speaking with us.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.